So very good evening to you all, dear brothers in Christ. So after probably I think 1 or 2 weeks, I'm joining you with the classes. I thank the Lord for giving us an opportunity. So today we're going to see a small story in the Old Testament and see what lessons we have from it. So we have studied in how to study the Bible, about the type and antitype, all the things which are written in the Old Testament were all just a shadow of the four things that are supposed to come in the New Testament or after Christ. Therefore, we see and we have studied in last few weeks also about the tabernacle and other things which are mentioned in the Old Testament, that all things signify Christ and the church. So let us read one verse in Colossians 2nd chapter 16 and 17. Joel, brother, can you read Colossians 2, 16 and 17?
Let no man, therefore, judge by you in meat or in drink or in respect of holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ.
Oh, very good, brother. So, what the body is of Christ. So all the things which are mentioned in the Old Testament, the rituals, the holy day, so doing this, that, all those things, what does the Bible say? It says it's a shadow of things to come. It was just a shadow of the things that is to come, but the body is of Christ. That means everything is fulfilled in the body of Christ. That means the church and Christ, antitypically, it is fulfilled. Okay. And Romans Apostle Paul also tells that all things written in the Old Testament were written for our edifying. Let us read Romans 15:4. Munna sister, can you read Romans 15:4?
For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, though through patience and comfort of the scripture, might have hope.
See, all things are written aforetime were written for our learning. You see, for our learning. That means each and everything in the Old Testament has a lesson for us. Why? That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We might have hope, and there might be a very fruitage for our hope also. So that is the reason the Old Testament things and all are given. So today, we'll see a small story that happened in the Old Testament in the life of Naaman. So who is Naaman? If you see, you must have heard this story since your childhood probably. When you have been going to Sunday class, so if you are going to the churches and all. So usually, they take this story for children to increase them to have faith in the Lord. Okay. So Naaman, if you see, Naaman was actually a captain of the, you see, the Syrian army. Now, who are the Syrians? We know very well the Syrians were actually the enemies of Israel. And usually they used to have a lot of war between Israel and Syria, and they used to come and attack and take the people captivity. So, and this captain, Naaman, was a very valiant warrior. He was a mighty man. He was a good captain. And because of him, the Syrian army had won a lot of wars. So there was honor and dignity for this man called as Naaman. So let us read 2 Kings 5:1. 2 Kings 5:1. Sunita, sister, can you read?
Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper.
He had everything. He had dignity, honor, respect, everything. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says that, but he was a leper. So he was infected with a leprosy. Though he had everything, because of him, there are a lot of wars that are won by the Syrian army, but he was infected with leprosy. See, leprosy had totally marred his life. You see, it has stolen the joy and happiness of his family. Why? Because if you see, leprosy during those days was actually a contagious disease which was incurable, and there was no remedy or treatment for this leprosy at all. So when leprosy comes, usually slowly start eating the body, slowly start eating the bones, the flesh, everything. And though they would be alive, slowly the body would get totally deformed. You see? And this would totally spoil their, you see, the beauty, you see? And they would lose everything. And nobody would even dare to come to near to the leprous person, because there was a very easily spreadable disease. So the people were very cautious. And not only that one, this leprosy was so that once if the some part of the body is infected with leprosy, it will spread to the entire body. And the part that is infected with leprosy, even if you take a pin and pierce it or punch it or put hot water also, there's no sense in that part at all. So that was the case of leprosy, you see. And, you know, we know that very well during the days of the Lord Jesus Christ and during the days of Israel, God had commanded that each and every leper was supposed to be outside the city of Jerusalem. He was not allowed to be inside Jerusalem. He was supposed to live only outside of the city of Jerusalem, you see. So, it applied to any leprosy, though be in any, you see, country or place. Every leper was isolated from their home. So, if you see, Naaman similarly had come and invaded Israel once. And while invading Israel, you see, he defeated the Israel and took the people captivity to their place, Syria. And during the captivity, he had taken a small girl, you see, captivity to his place. And she was working as a maid servant in Naaman's house. And she saw the, you see, the difficulty of Naaman's family, their sorrow, you see. And she began to, you see, witness about the one true God. She could not tolerate, she could not see them suffering. So she, you see, went and told about the Israel God, the God of Israel, who has power to heal all the diseases, to Naaman's wife. Read verse 2 and 3. Verse 2 and 3. Romy, sister, can you read?
And the Syrian had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife.
Very good. Now verse 3, sister. Huh?
And she said unto the mistress, would God may Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him for his leprosy.
See, she told about the God of Israel, and she also told that there is a prophet, you see, in Israel. If our master would have been in Israel, you see, and the prophet would have definitely healed, you see, Naaman of his entire disease. See, and as soon as Naaman hears this one, so really gives some hope that if I go to Israel, he says, surely I can be cured. So immediately, Naaman comes to the king and shares this news that there is a prophet in Israel. So who will heal this leprosy? So immediately, the king of Syria, he was very happy that his mighty You see, captain would be healed. And he took a letter and wrote a letter to the king of Israel and told him to heal Naaman of his disease and send him back to, you see, Syria. Read verse 5. Joel, brother, can you read?
And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment.
Very good. 10 changes of raiment. So all these things Naaman took immediately went to Israel and directly came to the palace of the king. Immediately when he came to the king's palace, he took the letter and gave it to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel, you see, as soon as he read this letter, he was totally shocked. You see, because in that letter, it had written that you please heal Naaman of leprosy and that he may recover. And you see, and send him back. And as soon as the king of Israel read this letter, you see, he began to tear his clothes, you see, and he began to wail and tell, the king of Syria is seeking excuse to attack Israel. Because those days, leprosy was incurable. Nobody had any cure at all, you see, though it be in Israel or any other place. And suddenly when he sends his letter to cure leprosy, how is it possible? You see, then see what happens. Verse 7. Amar brother, can you read verse 7?
And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seek a quarrel against me.
You see? So he told, see how he's seeking opportunity to fight against Israel. No, this news began to spread in Israel. And Naaman had come to, you see, the king's court, seeking the healing of leprosy. And they also heard the condition of king, how he tore his clothes and he was in very distressful condition. Immediately, this news comes to Elisha, the man of God. And Elisha tells to the king, O king, why are you worried? Why should you rent your clothes and be much worried? Send him to me. I will heal him of his leprosy, that he may know that there is a God in Israel. There is a God's prophet in Israel. And immediately, you see what happens? The king sends Naaman, you see, to Elisha's place. Then what happens? Elisha, you see, house was sought by Naaman. Naaman rode the chariots and came to the house of Elisha. Read verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 and 9. Ashish brother, can you read verse 8 and 9?
Second Kings, right, brother?
Yes, brother. Second Kings, 5th chapter, 8 and 9, brother.
Okay. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha.
He came directly to the house of Elisha. Then as he came, he expected that there would be a red carpet welcoming. You see, everybody, even the soldiers and all, will be waiting to welcome Naaman. But nothing happened. So immediately they went to the house of Elisha. It was a very narrow place. You see, he knocked the door. Immediately, the servant of Elisha opened the door and said, go and dip in River Jordan 7 times and you shall be cleansed of your leprosy. Immediately, Naaman was very angry. He never expected such a rude or, you see, a very low behavior from a prophet like Elisha. Read verse 10. Verse 10. Muna sister, can you read verse 10?
And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.
And thou shalt be clean. So as soon as he said this one, Naaman turned right about turn, took his chariots and began to ride towards her. She was very angry. You see, when he was very angry, he was going with the chariots and all. Slowly, so many thoughts began to come to his mind, wondering why Elisha the prophet, if he is the true prophet, if he is the prophet of the one true God, why is he not in the king's palace? And he should be honored and he should be sitting next to the king. And why did not king welcome us? Neither were our gifts or rewards were received or respected. And when he went to Elisha's place, it was a very narrow place, very small house. And the servants also were never wearing grand dresses and all. And he expected that at least Elisha would tell something big to do, offer so many sacrifices, give so much of offerings. But nothing such happened. So he began to wonder whether that girl had cheated him, that she told the lies or something like that. Then, as he was wondering and pondering about this thing, his soldiers, they also saw his condition. And they came and told, Master, why are you so much worried? If Elisha would have told you to do some great things, he'll offer 50 rams and 50 bullocks, you wouldn't have done it. You would have done it. You see, if you'd have told to do some great, great things, very expensive sacrifices, or give him some costly gift, you would have done it. But just think, Elisha has never said any of those things. Neither did he desire any of a gift. Neither did he ask any of a gift. But he has told a very simple thing. That is to go and wash in Jordan 7 times. So, why didn't we do it? He told. You see, and that was a very turning point for Naaman. Read verse 13. Verse 13. Joel brother, can you read verse 13?
And his servants come to near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, wash and be clean.
Wash and be clean. So, you see, Naaman was a soldier. You see, a captain. So, he decided to test what the prophet has said, whether it would come true or not. So, while they were passing to Syria, they had to cross the River Jordan. You see, and that is the time that Naaman got on from the chariot and he went and dipped, you see, in River Jordan. What happened? Verse 14. Verse 14. Anil brother, can you read verse 14?
Verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean.
See, as he dipped and came out, his flesh became like a little child, it seems. You know, so little, like very cute and very soft, and he was totally cleansed of his leprosy. How many times did Naaman dip? 7 times. Imagine, the first time would have taken a dip, nothing would have happened. You see, again he took second time, nothing, not even a fraction of changes. You see, third time he dipped, but even then, not even little bit changes also. You see, huh? Again the fourth time, nothing wonder happened. You see, not even a bit of changes also, not even light sign of a cure of leprosy. Imagine if we were in that condition, what we would have done? We would have ran from that place. You have 4 times, nothing has happened. What will happen in another 3 times? You see, imagine if you have any cold, cough, sickness, if the doctor tells us to take medicine for 5 days, what will we do? What would we expect? We expected at least in the first day, some 10% reduction will there. Second day, some reduction. Third day, something. Fourth day, at least everything should go off. But if something doesn't happen, immediately we'll go and search for another doctor. But Naaman, yeah, he did not do so. He was a soldier, an army person. Once he has decided to dip, he dipped completely the 7 times. You see, fifth time also nothing happened. Sixth time also nothing happened. Imagine the condition. At least sixth time something should have happened. Entire soldiers, you see, they're all seeing nothing happened. But when he dipped the 7th time, everybody was surprised that he was totally cured of leprosy. His leprosy was no more at all. There was no traces also. Entire thing was cleansed. His body, the Bible says, was like a newborn child. Imagine, huh? Our chokri, huh? How soft she is. You see, just touch her skin, it will be so soft. Naaman became like that one, it seems. Imagine, so joy, so happy Naaman would have been that immediately he returned to the man of God, Elisha's house, and he thanked him and he thanked the God of Israel and he said, in future, I will worship only the God of Israel. And it offered a lot of gifts and rewards to Elisha. But Elisha did not take anything. Let us read 2 Kings 5:15. 2 Kings 5:15. Well, Gopal brother, can you read 2 Kings 5:15?
And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessings of thy servant.
See, I pray thee, take a blessings of thy servant. Imagine, so joy, so happy, he would have returned to his family. What would have Naaman done to that girl, to that maid? He would have thanked her very, very much. You see, he would be so grateful for that small, you see, child. Imagine that child's, see the character of her. She is witnessing about one true God to an enemy who has destroyed her own family, you see, and brought her captivity and made her to work like a slave in her house. We imagine we would do that one. We would work like a, you see, servant. If you are working like a servant in our enemy's nation, if something bad happens to them, we will thank God. Oh, God has heard my prayers. But here, she witnessed about the true God. And Naaman would have come and, you see, surely he would have rewarded her plentifully. And he would have set her free. And he would have made her to come and join her family. You see, now this is the story. The 7 dippings of Naaman in River Jordan. So, what does this, you see, 7 dippings of Naaman, you see, signify? You see, so, leprosy, what does leprosy mean in the Bible? You see, first of all, some people misunderstand this one, the thing that, oh, we should baptize 7 times. Okay? This one, Naaman has got nothing to do with baptism. We'll see about baptism subject in the coming days. You see, leprosy. What does leprosy signify in the Bible? Leprosy signifies sin. You see, once the leprosy comes, there's no cure for it, no remedy at all. It spoils the body completely. It eats the body. You see, the image, the beautiful image spoiled. So similarly, when sin entered into the world, death came upon mankind. Man fell from the glory of God. He lost the image of God in which he was created. He was totally deformed. Sin began to consume him and death rained upon him. You see, the mankind was completely destroyed. He could never walk perfectly or be healthy, you see, or stand perfect before God. You see, has leprosy when it comes, you see, even if you pinch or even if you pour hot water also, there is no senses on the skin. So similarly, when the sin comes, when your sin is deeply rooted into us, even our conscience doesn't work. You see, there are so many people in this world, conscience itself is not there. They tell lies like as if hitting on their head. You see, boldly they tell lies. You see, the basic thing, and many Christians also, they are very fond of telling lies. You see, because sin is entrenched into their body. Their skin, their conscience has become so thick that the word of God doesn't work at all. You see, they began to speak lies. There's no senses, nothing will work out. Even if you touch, even if you pierce with God's word, you pour hot water, nothing will happen. That is the sin, you see. And these sinful people can never come close to God. They are isolated, they are far from God, you see. And what is the remedy? You see, God created Adam, you see, and gave him the entire dominion of this earth and told him, you see, have dominion of this earth, rule over the fowl of the air, over the beast of this forest, you see, and fishes in the sea. The entire thing God had given him, you see, the entire earth. He was the king of this earth. But God told him, you shall not eat the fruit of good and evil. In the day you eat the fruit thereof, what will happen? You see, sin and its result, death will result to you. But we know the story very well. You see, Satan cleverly deceived Eve, you see, to eat the forbidden fruit. But once, you see, the forbidden fruit was ate, and Adam ate, sin and death entered into this world. So, if we need to be cleansed of this sin, you see, then what we need to do is that we need to take the 7 steps, dear brethren. So, each and every step is very, very important. And what does 7 mean in the Bible? 7 always means the complete number. Therefore, you see, 7 creative days, 7 years unity work and take rest, 7 churches, 7 trumpets, 7 angels, 7 plagues, 7 colors in the rainbow, 7 weeks in a day. So 7 always means a perfect number. It appears in the Bible more than 400 times. So what is the first step? The first dipping signifies faith. This is the basic, you see, structure each and every Christian should have. The faith on the Lord. You see, faith on the Lord, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. You see, we should have faith that all our sins will be cleansed by our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ died for our sins. And for this one, a person should believe that he is a sinner. You see, and he has no way to escape from this sin and death except the God of Israel. So travel there. You see, have faith. You see, Jesus tells about Naaman. No? There are so many lepers in Israel and in Syria, but only why Naaman was healed? Because of his faith. So similarly, a Christian, a basic step is that he should believe that he is a sinner and confess his sin. You see, that is the first step, dear brethren, having faith. You see, once if you have faith, next only you can come to the second step. Therefore, in the tabernacle, you see, the tabernacle was completely covered with a white linen cloth. You see, the court. You can't enter the court, you see, because it's covered with a white linen cloth. So you need to come through the gate only. So that is wall of faith. You need to go into the wall of faith. And that is how? By Jesus Christ. So first step is that believe you are a sinner. And that your sins are cleansed only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay. What is the second dipping? The second being is the word of God. You see, as he begins to believe in Jesus and trust that Jesus died for his sin, personally for his sin, and he begins to, you see, show interest in God's words, because Jesus has died. God has made so much of plan for us. What is that plan? We'll see and search more and more from the Bible to understand the mind of God. That is the second step. Therefore, we read in the Bible that, you see, the people in Berea, they were also like that. They did not just bluntly receive whatever was told to them, but they checked in the scriptures. What does the Bible say? Let us read Acts 17:11. Acts 17:11. Munna sister, can you read?
These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scripture daily, whether those things were so.
Very good, sir. See, so they received the word of God, but they went to the house and checked in the scriptures whether it was so. This is the curiosity. This is the interest a Christian should have. You see, need to understand, zeal to understand more and more about God. What does the Bible say? You see, God desires, you see, knowledge more than the burnt offering. Hosea 6, chapter 6, verse. See, and Jesus himself had this knowledge about God. Let us read Isaiah 53:11, and one more brother can read 2 Peter 1:5. Anil brother, you can read Isaiah 53:11. Rome sister, you can read 2 Peter 1:5.
He shall see of the trouble of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities.
By his knowledge, God's knowledge shall my righteous servant many. So knowledge is important. You see, we may believe, we may have so much of faith, but if that faith is not accompanied properly with the knowledge, it's of no use. So people of Israel had zeal, interest, so much of love for the Lord, but did not have the zeal properly tuned as per the knowledge. So when Jesus came, what happened? They rejected Jesus Christ. Read 2 Peter 1:5. Romister.
Yes, brother. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge.
See, it tells, add to your faith virtue, goodness, knowledge. So knowledge is very, very important. Therefore, you see, a person at the second step shows interest in the word of God, attends the classes, studies the more word of God, takes the notes, goes through the notes, you see, and tries to understand what does the Bible say. If he has any questions, he begins to seek answers for it and makes notes of it also. And not only one, he tries to witness to others about God's words. So that is the second step. What is the third step? Third step is sin. You see, giving of sin. You see, now what does it mean by sin? All things which are unrighteous, which God doesn't like, it is considered sin. You see, some people, they don't even have knowledge about sin. They think that some things are very correct as per their understanding. You see, like for example, so some people are now addicted to mobile. They continuously keep on seeing the mobile, WhatsApp, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, keep on scrolling from morning till evening. Or else, some people, they watched a match, you see, the World Cup, no? Season, keep on watching TV or watching cinema. Still, some of the people, they are very fond of going around. Keep on going to the shopping malls. You see, even they don't buy means keep on just roaming about. Just wasting precious time. Still, some people are very fond of eating. You want this particular food only, keep on eating glutinous. You see, these things are the things which Satan has You see, put in this world to deceive mankind. Sin. So, a Christian at the second step, as he begins to understand more and more of God's words, he begins to cleanse himself. You see, what did Jesus say? If your right hand, you see, sins, better cut it off than going to, you see, going to, you see, what do you say? Hellfire. That's the second death with both your hands. You see, better cut it off and go with one hand to eternal life. So, when Jesus himself told, it is better to cut off our hands itself means whatever might be very close for us. If it is against God's will, it is our duty to cut it off. You see, therefore, the brethren, Bible says, no, to depart from all these things. Read 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy 2:19. Sunita sister, can you read 2 Timothy 2:19? Okay. Amar brother, you're there? Can you read 2 Timothy 2:19?
Okay. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Depart from iniquity. So as he realizes that these things are not pleasing to God, he quits off all these things. You see, before this, you would be telling lies, small things which are under the carpet. But now, if conscience starts to work and begins to cleanse himself, that is the third one. Now, fourth one is what? Fourth one is consecration, dedicating himself to God. This is the way. A place that where our Jesus began his race. You see? What does the Bible say? Apostle Paul says, no? I beseech you, brethren, you see, by the mercies of God, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. We studied about this one in the church. You see, who is a Christian? Not one who has faith, not one who believes in Jesus, but one who follows the footsteps of Jesus. Sacrifice. Sacrifice means what? It should cause us some trouble. It should cause us some pain. You see, it should cost us something. That is called a sacrifice. You see, let us read Romans 12:1 and Matthew 16:24. Anil Budhar, can you read Romans 12:1?
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Which is your reasonable service. Offering, doing sacrifice to God is not some great thing we are doing. Very, very reasonable, you see, service. If this reasonable service only is nobody is doing me, very difficult. So consecration is very important. What did Jesus say? If any man wants to be my disciple, what he should do? Read Matthew 16:24. Munna sister, can you read?
Then said Jesus unto his disciple, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
If any man wants to be my disciple, deny himself, first of all. You see, that's the first thing, sacrifice yourself. Take up the cross, take up responsibility for Christ's sake. Take risk. You see, spend, be spent in the Lord's way. Follow his footsteps. You see, that is the reason. Then, you see, consecration. That is the time that a person becomes a new creature. Okay? So, fourth step, he wants to dedicate his life to the Lord. But fifth step what? Fourth step, he says, Lord, here I come. I offer my body as a sacrifice. He says, everything he says in the fourth step. But the fifth step, he actually tries to walk his talk. You see, walking our talk is very difficult, no? You see? But this is very, very important step. You see? Very, very important step. You see, the fifth step, very, very important. Walking in the footsteps of Jesus, practically. You see? What does the Bible say? Read 1 John 2:6. Joel, brother, read, brother. 1 John 2:6.
He that said he abideth in him ought himself also so to talk even as he walk.
You see, we should walk even as he walked. That means what? As Jesus lived, your life also should be like Jesus. This is the main aim. What does Apostle Paul say? You see, he eagerly traveled in pain so that Christ may be found. He also told in one more place that it is no more I that liveth, but Jesus lives in me. Read Galatians 2:20 and Galatians 4:19. Ashish brother, can you read Galatians 2:20?
Okay. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
See, I am crucified with Christ. Are we really crucified with Christ? Are we really dead in Christ? Nevertheless, it is not that I live, but Christ that is living in me. Our life should be lived. So practically things to be like Christ, walk like Christ, you see, behave like Christ. Read Galatians 4:19. Gopal brother, can you read Galatians 4:19?
My little children, of whom I travel in birth again until Christ be formed in you.
See, until Christ be formed in you. I travel in pain. You see, that means it's so much laboring. You see, so practically, he will try to walk his talk. You see, dear brethren, I'll show you, I'll tell you a difference between, you see, a good person and the righteous person. You see, a righteous person is a law-abiding person who abides rules, regulations, everything. Very strict person, very neat person, very clean person. You see, he follows the principles, everything. You see, he's a very good person. But good person goes beyond that one. See, a righteous person, if he had taken a loan from the righteous person, you see, he's got entire rights to go to the court and sue him if anybody is defaulter, if anybody doesn't make the payment. You see? So, that is a righteous person. You see? We see in the Bible that a creditor who was supposed to receive so much of money, when somebody doesn't give, you see, he goes to the court and removes his clothes and tries to squeeze out whatever is possible from him. So that is a righteous person. That is law abiding. So whatever terms was agreed, see, so you'd follow. But who is a good person? A good person is somewhat better. That means if he's not able to pay the money, if he requests, sir, I'm not able to, please forgive me, I'm not able to give it, then that good person will let him go. That is the difference between a righteous person and a good person. You see, just being righteous is not sufficient. So being a good person is very important. Let us read one verse in Bible, Romans 5. Romans 5. 7. Can somebody read? Romans 5, 7. Okay. Joel brother, can you read? Romans 4.
Okay, brother. Romans 5, 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die yet, prevent danger for a good man, some will even dare to die.
So what does this mean? He says, for a good man, somebody will dare to die. Pa. Somebody might come to die. But for a righteous person, rarely nobody might come also. Okay. It is like telling, you see, in case of emergency, blood is required. If that person who is in danger is a good person, somebody will come at least help. But if he is a very law-abiding, very strict following person, who will come? Nobody will come. But Jesus died for us when we were bad. That's what Apostle Paul is giving the comparison. So here the difference is between the righteous person and the good person. You see, so being a righteous person is not sufficient. Be good. Good person means what? You see, sacrifice. Lend yourself. Be spent in the Lord. That is what, you see, the fifth step matters. See, and the past four steps, a Christian would have had a lot of aims, ambitions to study well, to become a great person, earn very good salary, very good job, have house, a lot of money, everything, marry a beautiful wife, everything you would have had. But that is in the first step. You see, he told he will offer sacrifice. But at the fifth step, he will think, he'll put a question, will think whether it is bringing glory to God. Is it really bringing glory to God? What I am doing, all these things, is it really denying myself for the Lord? Is it really carrying the cross? Dear brethren, that is the fifth step, walking practically in our consecrated walk of life. Okay, now sixth step. Still now, what has not happened? Leprosy is not cured. Leprosy is still there. Above all things, you see, the sixth step is very, very important. Because without the sixth, seven cannot be achieved at all. What is that one? That is love. Development of love. The fruits of the Holy Spirit. The first name of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love. Galatians 5:22. You see, love is fulfilling of the entire law. Romans 13:10. It says now, love worketh no ill to the neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. God has not given us any law. But even then, even God has not given us the law. If we love each other, it is like keeping the law. Then. So, in this love, there are three types of love. First is a filial love, affectionate love. You see, eros love, a bodily love. Agape love is a selfless love. Now, what is a filial love? Affectionate love. The love which we have for our material things. Huh? Like, for example, a car. Oh, I love my car. Oh, so beautiful. Oh, so wonderful. See, the material things, sir. You see, the filial love. This one, everybody has it in the world. Eros love means bodily, physical love. You see, I love my wife. You see, my wife loves me. So, this is eros love. But agape love is selfless love. It is unselfish love. This is the love God showed upon us. Read Romans 5th chapter. 6th verse. Read with
We're yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly.
Christ died for the ungodly, not godly person. Read verse 8, brother.
Verse 8, brother. But God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Christ died for us. When we were yet sinners, will you die for a sinner? Will you go and give your blood for a culprit who is in the central jail? No, nobody would come forward. You see, nobody would come forward and fight his case also. You see, that is what is the love which Bible says. And about the love, the Bible is given in 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. You see, the Bible says about love in very detailed matter in 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. So let us read this 13 chapter one by one and go. Okay, Ashish brother, can you read 1 Corinthians 13 chapter one by one? 1 to 8, from verses okay. 1 to 8. Slowly.
Okay, brother. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or a thinking cymbal.
See? Speaking in tongues. Huh? Tongues means what? Do you all speak in tongues? Huh? I'll tell you what is the meaning of tongues in the coming days. You see? If I speak in various languages, you see, I may be having a talent to speak in 5-6 languages, but don't have love. If love is not the motive behind your speaking in various languages, it is just a sounding brass. A tinkling cymbal, the temple they put now, in your Nepal, the Himalaya places and all, the bells will be there, not ting, 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 ting. It will keep on ringing. It doesn't know why it is ringing. Simply if the wind blows, it will start ringing. They usually put it in a bell for the cat or for the cow. You see, it doesn't know why it rings without meaning. So love should be our base, the foundation. Next, continue, Buddha.
And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing.
I am nothing. So, though I have a gift of prophecy, what do you gift of prophecy mean, sir? You see, I can decode all the prophecies in the Bible. Each and every prophecy can be intricately, detailedly understand, clearly explained. That's what everybody will understand. Understand all mysteries. You see, all knowledge and have faith to move mountains. How much faith you need to have to move mountains? Less the small mustard seed. A faith as a mustard seed. But if love is not there, what is the use? So you should have faith. But that faith should be motivated by love. Unless you are not motivated by love, even if you have faith, even if you have knowledge, it is of no use. Continue with the next.
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity or love, it profit me nothing.
You see? Though I give my goods to feed to the poor, I'll donate, I'll sacrifice, I'll give so much of money to the poor. You see? So many people do know. When some festival comes, Christmas comes, they give food for the poor. I will give 1,000. Oh, you please feed 1,000 people. How many days? Only one day, Christmas day. What type of food? Very cheap food. Please prepare and come. You see, they give no. Though I give all my goods to poor. On the Christmas day, you know what they do? In the churches, they bring all the clothes and give it a gift to the poor. What type of clothes? All old clothes, used clothes. Neatly iron it, pack it, cleanly pack it and give it as a gift. Poor clothes, old clothes. If somebody gives that one, will we take it? Is it love? Even if I give my goods, you see, to feed to the poor, you see, no use. Though I give my body to be burned, I'll die as a martyr. So many people, they died as a martyr in the dark ages. Why the church is not complete? Because they would have died for ego and pride. Some people have so much of ego and pride, they won't let their, you see, enemies to conquer them. They will stand erect. They think that they are standing for God. But inside, what is the motive? God sees that one. No. Standing for pride, standing for ego, just to show that you are correct. No. All your faith on the Lord and standing for the truth should be out of love for the Lord. Out of love for this truth. Next, brother, continue.
Love suffereth long and is kind. Love.
Here it tells the definition. What is the meaning of love? How can we identify love? You see, generally, Apostle Paul doesn't explain if you have love, this will be, that will be. But he says the characters of love. He says, love suffers long and is kind. Suffers long. You know, suffering long means long suffering. Not impatient. You see, lot of patience. You see, there was a person, a great philosopher named as Socrates. He was a very, very calm person. And he had a wife. And she used to always shout at him. And even then, he used to be very calm. One day, what happened? She began to scold him very heavily. But even then, he was simply, silently sitting and, meditating. Then she got so fed up that she brought a bucket of water and poured upon him. Immediately, Socrates reacted saying, till now it was thundering, but now it has started to rain. You see, charity suffers long. Yeah? Long patience. Then, next, charity envieth not. You see, it doesn't have that ego, envy. You see, envy, enmity. No. You see, there were two neighbors who were living next to each other. But they were deadly enemy. One person did not like the other person. Other person did not like the other person. If one person bought a car, another person used to bring two cars. You see, a lot of competition, between them. And, one of them prayed to the Lord. And Lord appeared to him and said, oh, my son, I'm very much pleased with you, your dedication. You please tell me what you want. But God told, but before I give you your wish, think, whatever you ask, whatever you get, the double will be given to your enemy, your neighbor. Then he was sure totally shocked to him. Sir, what is this? God is telling his son. He told God, God, give me one day time. So that day and all, he did not sleep at all. Thinking, what to do? Yo, if I ask 1 kg gold, my enemy will get 2 kg gold. If I ask one big bungalow, he will get 2 bungalows. Whatever I ask, he will get double now. Then he thought and thought and thought and thought. Morning, the Lord came. Lord asked, my son, what did you decide? What did that person tell? The person said, Lord, please pluck out my one eye. Please pluck out my one eye. That means what? If I lose one eye, my neighbor, my enemy will lose 2 eyes. This is enmity. This is enmity. This is envy. You see, love doesn't envy. Then, love wanteth not itself. What do you mean by wanteth not itself? You see, always putting yourself forward. Not always. I, me. I like that. I am like that. I am like this one. I did this one. I did that one. It is only because of me. No. I put stop. I throw that I in the dustbin. Lucifer was the one who said, I will be like the most high. You see, I will sit upon the, north. I God removed him because of pride. That is pride. You see, never put yourself forward. You see, that may be any situation. You see, other brethren should be given the opportunities. You see, that is not putting yourself forward. Not telling about self. You see, it doesn't keep on boasting about self. You see, I am like this, I did this one, it's all because of me. No. It is all because of the Lord. You see, when Jesus came to Jerusalem, he came upon a donkey. You see, the Bible says that nobody sat upon that, colt of an ass. And usually, if somebody sits on a donkey, do you think it will come straightly, silently, without making any problem? Just try it in your house or in your place if you have any horse. If nobody sat on the horse or a donkey, if you just go and touch it, it will start, making trouble. Nobody can sit it also. And moreover, when Jesus sat, calmly, silently, it entered Jerusalem. How was it possible? Because everybody welcomed Jesus Christ by putting cloths. They put white cloths and palm branches and singing songs, singing praises to God. Nobody did this one to donkey ever in their life. They used to put all the clothes on the donkey instead of putting on the road. But today, Jesus is sitting every clothes on the road, welcoming it. Oh, this donkey was totally surprised. Oh, this is all because of me, donkey thought. Now you tell me, why did the people of Israel welcome donkey? Did they welcome the donkey or did they welcome the Lord? They welcomed the Lord, not the donkey. Donkey thought, you see, donkey is important. No, donkey is not important. Donkey is important until the Lord is on the donkey. We are the donkey. You see, we are not important until our Lord Jesus is there in us. We are welcomed, or else there is no value. So we should not glory at all. That is what it says. You see, it never wants itself. It is not puffed up. Puffed up means what? Pride, ego. You see, puffing up. You see, usually the frog puffs up. It is very small. But imagine if somebody comes to attack it, it bulges it like this. So we should not show what we don't have. Whatever we have, we should be happy in that one. That is what the Lord says. Apostle Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. Very rich family. But he was so simple person, he was ready to weave the tent for the Lord's sake. You see, he was not puffed up. Never did he mention about his family in the Bible. You see, and boasted that I am such a person. Oh, I'm this one. I'm very great. But today I'm treated like this. No. You see, Nibdren, he suffered so many things without food, without shelter, without clothes. The tension about the churches, the false brethren, everything. He was not puffed up. That is love. Next, brother. Continue, brother. Huh?
Okay. Don't behave itself unseemly. Seek it not our own. Is not easily provoked.
Thank you, brother. So, does not behave unseemly. That means what? Misbehaving. You see? Just because we are brothers and sisters doesn't mean that you just come to the home and open the door wide open. Oh, brother, this is your house. What is there in your house? Let me see. Let me go to the nook and corner, search everything in your house. No. You see, discipline should be maintained. Though we are brothers and sisters, you see, that respect, you see, should be there. Doesn't behave yourself whichever way you want. You see, seeketh not our own. Always doesn't try to implement own plan, own purposes. Always try to do only the way somebody thinks. You see, what does the Bible say? You see, give preference one to another. You see, always be, you see, eager to respect each other. Romans 12 chapter says, no. You see, honor to them that give you honor. You see, that should be there. It is not easily provoked. Not easily misbehaves, you see, not easily short-tempered, you see, and thinketh no evil, main point. Never imagine evil imaginations, wrong things, which is not there at all. Simply imagine things which are irrelevant, you see, no evil schemes, you see. Today, you know, there's so much of war in Israel and Gaza. Why? Thinking evil. They were all living peacefully, simply unnecessary thought evil. What happened? Completely. Everything got spoiled. They could have lived peacefully. Why? Love is lacking. Next, Buddha, continue.
Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth.
See? Doesn't rejoice in iniquity, rejoices in the truth. Oh, just my pastor. Oh, just my pastor tells me whatever things, I'll believe it. Why? Even though it doesn't there in the Bible, it's not there in the Bible, I believe it. Why? Because my pastor told that. That's what the Bible says. No. Even if a pastor is preaching iniquity, the things which are not there in the Bible, it should not be encouraged at all. It rejoices only in the truth. You see, truth is truth. False is false. Let it be anybody. You see, that's what the Thessalonica brethren did. The Berean people did. The Berean people began to search everything from the scriptures. They rejoiced in the truth. You see, then brother, continue.
Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things.
It believes all things in the Bible. It bears all things, all trials, all sufferings it bears. Hopes all things, hopes that everything works out for good. He endures all things. You see, there should be patience, endurance. Some things, sometimes what we expect, it doesn't work out. We should never lose our temper, you see, never lose our mind. Never lose our aim in Christ. Endure, bear all things. Then charity never fails. You see, this type of love never fails. You see, whatever might be, it may fail, brethren. But this fail, this love is unfailing love. This is the last step each and every Christian should aim. This is not impossible. This is possible. This our Lord did in his life and showed to us. So similarly, we can definitely do it, but we need to work it out. That's all. Simply, we need to let our ego go first thing. You see, then automatically all these characters will develop in us. Now, let us fit these verses to Jesus and see whether Jesus was really suitable for this character. Like, for example, we'll read from verse 4. Verse 4 to verse 8. Instead of that word charity, we will put Christ. You see, I will put Jesus and read. Okay? Can somebody read? Brother Gopal or Brother Ashish, as you know how to read these verses, I think any of you would be comfortable. Verse 4 to verse 8. First Corinthians.
Gopal, please go on.
1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 8.
Okay, brother.
You should have with that word charity, you put Jesus and read, brother.
Jesus, brother?
Okay,
brother. Jesus suffereth long and is kind. Jesus envieth not. Jesus vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And Jesus never faileth, but...
Jesus never fails. How aptly, how beautifully these verses fit to Jesus, no? You see... Jesus suffers long. Jesus is kind. Jesus envieth not. Jesus wanteth not himself. Jesus is not puffed up. Jesus doesn't behave unseemingly. Jesus doesn't seek his own. Jesus is not easily provoked. Jesus doesn't think he will. Jesus doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Jesus bears everything. Jesus believes everything. Jesus hopes everything. Jesus endures everything. Jesus never fails. Beautifully, this verse is uploaded. But does it apply to us? Let us see these verses as an image in a mirror and apply these verses to us and read. Okay? Now, verse from 4 to 8, read by applying to ourselves, brother. Like, I suffer long. You read like that, brother. Gopal, brother, can you read from verse 4 to 8?
Okay, brother. I suffereth long and is kind. I envieth not. I vaunteth not. Is not puffed up. Doeth not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and never faileth.
You see,
but
I never fail. You see, Now we should put a question whether we fail or not. We'll definitely fail. You see, I suffer long. I am kind. I envy not. I wanteth not myself. I am not puffed up. I don't behave myself unseemingly. I don't seek myself. I am not easily provoked. I don't think evil. I rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. I bear all things. I believe all things. I hope all things. I endure all things. I never fail. You see? So these things we need to put a question in our mind. Are we like that? If we are not like that, we need to work out our salvation, dear brethren. This is the sixth step. Once we achieve this love, the final step is, you see, the seventh step is death. Once if we die in the resurrection, God will give us a new body. A new body, much more pleasant, a beautiful body. Like a child, a newborn child in the new creation. You see, in the divine nature, in the heavenly salvation. How Jesus was resurrected and God gave him a new body. Similarly, God will give us a crown of life. You see, Revelation 2:10, it says now, be faithful unto death and I will give thee a crown of life. Therefore, these seven steps are important. Faith, truth, seeking the truth. You see, separation from sin, consecration, and walking our consecration, development of love. Last is death. Therefore, dear brethren, each and every step is important as the past step. Without the first step, we can't achieve the second, neither the fourth, or fifth, or sixth. We can't directly jump in our imagination to the seventh step and try to win our crown. So, all these steps are important. So, let us thank Naaman for giving us a wonderful example in the Bible, or else we wouldn't have learned so many things. Anyway, we thank the Lord for giving these wonderful words, and we pray that God may give us strength in the coming days to grow in Christ. May Lord bless this word.